no doubt heard about the Department of Government Efficiency, the group known as DOGE, that Elon Musk is leading for the Trump administration. Now state lawmakers in Ohio have created a DOGE caucus. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to explain what the DOGE caucus is and what it's doing are Ohio State Representative Tex Fisher, a Republican from Mahoning County, and Ohio State Representative David Thomas, a Republican from Ashtabula County. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Representative Fisher, we've been hearing a lot about DOGE at the federal level. Explain what this DOGE caucus in Ohio is and how it compares to what Elon Musk is doing.
We launched our caucus last month. You know, we'd had obviously there's a lot of conversation happening at the national level with what's going on in Washington, D.C., with the Trump administration. And, you know, we certainly share, I think, some of the objectives. Of course, the way our caucus is set up is we're a legislative caucus. It's really just a group of like-minded folks getting in a room together to discuss different ideas of how we right-size government, how we make sure that we're doing those essential functions of what state government ought to do and doing those to the best of our ability, but also making sure we're not getting involved in things that are maybe not necessarily in that purview of what we believe state government should be doing. So a lot of the priorities we're tackling will be government efficiency, of course, making sure that we're spending where we should be spending and not where we shouldn't be spending, as well as just trying to make sure that government works and is understandable for the average Ohioan. I know Representative Thomas can speak to some of those things when it comes to the local tax code, one of the big issues that we've been hearing about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're not an executive agency. We're not checking in with people to ask them what they did this week or anything like that. We're just a legislative caucus full of folks that want to exchange ideas and try to make sure government is working for the average Ohioan.
And Representative Fisher, do you have thoughts on where the biggest inefficiencies are in Ohio state government?
We're certainly starting at a much, I think, better starting point than what's going on in Washington, D.C. I think that any government, whether it's an agency at the state or the local or the federal level, you deal with a lot of mission creep over time. You know, the state gets involved in something in a very limited role 10 or 15 years ago, and then down the line, you see that this is now a billion-dollar program or hundreds of millions of dollars, and that sometimes those functions may be better off left at the local level or left to the private sector entirely. So it's not necessarily about slashing everything. It's about healthy scrutiny and making sure that at the end of the day, what we're spending money on is focused on the areas that are going to be the most impactful for our communities. I think there are a lot of inefficiencies and quite frankly, a lot of confusion from Ohioans about how some of these processes and some of these systems work. Property taxes being a great example. I don't think a whole lot of people understand how property taxes work or how those are calculated. And me as a homeowner, I certainly didn't have a full understanding of how difficult and complex that system was until I got to the legislature and started tackling that issue. And Representative Thomas has been such a great leader on that. And he understands that issue inside and out. And I think he'll tell you it's not designed to be efficient or easily understandable for the citizens. And that's really who we're there to represent are the citizens of the state rather than any type of special interest group or other organization.
Representative Thomas, I want to talk to you about that because property taxes have been a huge issue in Ohio over the past year plus. I know you're part of this caucus. You've been really focused on legislation related to property taxes in Ohio. How important is that focus in this DOGE caucus?
Oh, it's a tremendous, I think, attention grabber for us as legislators. One, just because our taxpayers are demanding that we do something. And two, you know, as Representative Fisher said, we're living it ourselves every day as well. This is the issue that I ran on. This is why I ran for state representative, you know, this past year, former county auditor for 6 years. And, you know, you see every day just the frustrations from taxpayers. And you can only, you know, take so much before you decide, well, you want to make a difference as well. I think all of our members, both Republican and Democrat in the legislature, know that property taxes, the tax system, needs attention. It's the number two tax receipt in Ohio. You know, we pay number one that Ohioans pay is our federal income taxes, right about $50, $55 billion. Number two is our property taxes, and that's $22.4 billion every year. And property taxes don't go to Columbus. They stay at your local level for our local government services. And actually, our state income and sales tax, the state level, help to subsidize and fund some of those property taxes too at the local level. And it's just such a massive system especially you know, in Ohio, where we have layers and layers of government. We like that typically as local residents, but we don't like paying for it. And really, frankly, nor should we. So this is one area that we're looking at as a legislature. Brett Fisher is really tuned in to the state efficiencies and what can we do better at the state level. But we can't, you know, help work, do things at the state level without also looking down to our local system and saying, okay, what can be changed?
What is your main goal with the property tax reforms that you're working on?
I think it's very, very important that we first hit on what is property tax reform and what is not property tax reform. So what's not property tax reform, but is typically looked at as, you know, the silver bullet, is us spending more of our tax dollars to subsidize higher tax dollars. That's just, I think, irresponsible. And we can't continue to do that with our state income and sales tax dollars, just giving money back and paying for people's higher property tax at the local level. That just incentivizes things to continue to grow and for, frankly, our local entities to continue to spend more and more. It's unsustainable. So that is not property tax reform.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by that. Do you mean it's not about growing the taxes that go to the state to subsidize the local property taxes? Is that what you're talking about there?
So that's, you know, there's a lot of calls for essentially us at the state level to give money to people to pay their property taxes at the local level. And that is, you know, definitely meaningful for folks who are seniors or people who are on homestead. That is a current program that we have. But if you look at it in a broader sense, our state income and sales tax dollars continuing to go back to residents at the local level to pay for their property taxes, that just essentially incentivizes more property taxes and more spending than at the local level, folks to continue to pass levies, entities to not look at efficiencies in their context. And so that might be a really easy, simple, you know, fix that people could think of right now. But if we continue to keep spending more and more and more, you're really just pulling from one side of the pocket to the other side of the pocket. What we're more so focused on is actually the system itself. And what people are going to see are a good number of single issue targeted bills that average everyday Ohioans can actually read, can understand, and will be able to kind of see through the process. And those are going to be focused on things like lowering the spikes and unvoted increases. That's what we've really seen a lot over the past couple of years due to school funding mechanisms and something called inside millage, the unvoted increases spiking. And then they'll see other bills that kind of get at levy language, who can place levies on the ballot, carryover amounts, what it looks like to actually fund some of these services, and encouragement on a decrease in spending and size of our local level through shared services, combining of services, and maybe decreasing some of our taxing authorities. We've got thousands and thousands of taxing districts in Ohio, and that just adds the complexity and, frankly, then the overall cost to our property owners.
And I know you've talked about how these property taxes come back to the local areas, the counties and the communities. They fund really critical services, including public schools. Can this reform happen and this restructuring happen without underfunding those critical services?
So I think it's really important to know that every entity is going to be a little bit different. I was just talking with folks this morning in a very wealthy area outside of Cleveland on some of their tax issues. And then also today, very non-wealthy areas in Appalachia about some of their tax issues. So we're very varied across Ohio. But I think it's really going to be critical to look at how much does it actually cost to do some of these services. And where are we spending quite a bit more year over year? And one, not necessarily getting the results, but then two, if you look at good examples, maybe, you know, I think gone are the days where every township can have its own police department, its own fire department, and its own road crew. That's just a strong duplication of services. And then when we move over to the school side, I think we have to be very realistic with, we are seeing less and less students in our school system, but we're paying more and more per student in our school system. And having 614 or so school districts across the state, is that really the most efficient way to deliver the best education possible to those students? Those are just some of the questions that we're kind of asking ourselves, because the costs are just unsustainable to our property owners. And we're also encouraging, you know, local entities too. We've given them some of the tools already to diversify, to lower the burden on the property owner, you know, things like the income tax at the village and at the city and the school level, and then the sales tax at the county level. Entities can do that today, but they're not really all that interested in diversifying and lowering the burden to the property owner. But we're going to try and encourage them to do that very soon.
Representative Fisher, what are your thoughts about either cuts to services or the restructuring of services to save money? What are your thoughts about how that can happen and what it'll mean for Ohio residents?
Yeah, I completely agree with what David just said. You know, I think it's all about efficiency and shared services. I think you see across the state of Ohio, a lot of local governments have been proactive in taking some of these steps to share services and promote some of those efficiencies. You know, a huge chunk of local government costs, or really costs for government, particularly at the smaller scales, really are on those overhead costs. You know, if you have a few small townships that have an individual, you know, each township of maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people having their own fire department, when they could create a joint fire district with a neighboring community and actually end up providing a better service for the residents at a lower cost. I think those are the sort of easy wins that we're looking to promote. You know, we all completely agree that public safety, education, and infrastructure are the core functions of what state government ought to be doing. But we're also seeing a lot of blowback. We're seeing levies starting to fail because people are fed up with the property taxes they're paying, and they're not necessarily seeing an improvement in the quality of services they're receiving, but they're paying more and they're not quite sure what they're paying for. So I think this is a unique opportunity for us to try to promote some of those efficiencies, to promote shared services, so that at the end of the day, our goal is to get better value for the tax dollars we're paying. And if shared services is a way to do that, which I believe it is, we can talk about the number of taxing jurisdictions we have in the state of Ohio, which is an astronomically high number. Representative Thomas can speak to that as well. Those are some of the things that we have to look at, because, you know, just because something was done a certain way 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, or even 30 years ago, doesn't necessarily mean that's what's right for the residents of Ohio today in 2025.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the Ohio DOGE Caucus, its work, and its goals. Representative Thomas, you were talking before about some of these bills that you're going to be introducing. Which of these are designed to provide property tax relief to senior citizens, for example?
There is no silver bullet, and that's one of the key things to know about addressing taxes and the tax system. All of the different ideas will get at different aspects of the system, but there's no one, you know, bill or one idea that will truly kind of give help. The best idea is to cut spending, and we're going to be doing that. But for seniors specifically, there will be direct help. We currently have the Homestead program. That's for seniors who are most in need, lower income, they own their home. That program has not really been beefed up recently. It's actually almost decreasing in credit as values go up and tax rates go down. So we have an amendment in the budget. Hopefully we'll be seeing some success on that here shortly to give a little bit more relief to seniors. We're also working, Representative Adam Matthews and Representative Josh Williams are working on a tax deferment bill that will help to defer some of the spikes and increases for seniors as well. And that should be coming out here pretty shortly. But all of our bills, the key is to decrease the tax rate for everyone. The more that we help and the more that we frankly throw money at one kind of sector of our population or at one particular area, well, the more then that we're going to be having to either increase taxes or the tax rate or not fund services in a different piece. And so we have to be, I think, very careful about that shifting burden. And, you know, ideally with us really focusing in on those unvoted increases, on decreasing the spikes of unvoted revenue that goes to mainly our local school systems, I think that will truly be a huge help for seniors, but also for everyone who pays property taxes.
What about tax rates or tax incentives for new businesses coming into the state? There are long-term tax abatements that get negotiated, and I know some people argue that's not good for the existing homeowners and businesses when new developments or new businesses aren't paying taxes because of these agreements.
That is a perfect example of how things are going to be different all across the state. In Representative Fisher, in my area, the Mahoning Valley area, there is not strong development or strong housing occurring unless we incentivize it. And so we need some of those abatement programs, especially ones that help bring infrastructure. That might decrease some of the revenue coming to local entities in the short term. But in our area, those are very important to actually bring long-term investments. Now, in other pockets of the state where the housing market is very strong, people are building regardless, those abatements then aren't really as necessary, and they actually cause a shift of the tax burden. Think of a development where a whole bunch of families move in, they have more kids, those kids go to local schools, but those families are voting for the levies for the local schools, but aren't actually paying for them. And so House Bill 154 is one kind of example or way that, you know, we hope to decrease some of the tax rate with those new developments and still be able to give abatements and incentives, but not, frankly, go overboard with them either. And that is a delicate balance. We want more development. We need more housing to help with our supply and demand issue, but we also don't want to cause higher tax rates for those who are already living in the neighborhoods.
Representative Fisher, we've talked a lot about public schools. Other times on this program, we've talked about the Ohio School Voucher Program and how much the state is spending on that. Is that anything the DOGE caucus would ever consider as a place to cut spending, that voucher program?
Well, I think our goal is to approach all of these issues holistically, and we have a really great and diverse group of experiences and interest areas represented within our caucus. We have about, I haven't checked honestly the list super recently, but we have more people joining fairly frequently. So we have over 25 members of our caucus, and you know, we have folks in there who are really focused on making sure education works. The EdChoice voucher program, the spending levels are for those programs are based on the average state share of what the state spends to educate a student in public school. So, you know, the formula that goes into finding that dollar amount is based on what gets spent elsewhere. So that will always be part of, a piece of the puzzle that gets addressed. But again, that is based on what we're spending overall. That's not a dollar number necessarily that the General Assembly just decides on every 2 years when those programs or those scholarships get created. So yeah, it's all a piece of the puzzle, but it all sort of feeds into the broader conversation of education, that education funding that we're having right now.
And if I could just piggyback off of Rep. Fisher's comment, when you're looking at efficiencies, you know, the last thing we want to do is fund an empty seat. And if the student is still in the public school, but the public school expects the money for the student, even if they're not there, I think that's kind of part of the epitome of inefficiencies. And so it just makes sense that that money would either follow the student or would not be actually funding that empty seat. And that's part of, I think, us looking at where best should that spending be going, especially when if you look at the total voucher cost per student is usually actually much lower than what the state share might be for those students in that local school. And so it's actually saving money by giving the voucher and allowing the student then to go to the education area where they best feel they're going to be educated.
Representative Thomas, what's your timeline for these different property tax bills that you're working on? Do you have a sense for how quickly all these measures could move through the legislature?
Perfect example is House Bill 28. That is the ending of replacement levies. That bill is sponsored by Rep. Adam Matthews and Thomas Hall. And that one kind of sat in the legislature last General Assembly for almost 2 years, not much activity. We've already moved it out of the House in 2 months. So we're moving pretty fast. The legislature is extraordinarily busy. doing a lot of bills, a lot of heavy lifts already on top of the budget. As soon as we have bills drafted, we're introducing them. We have a good number already introduced. Sponsor testimony on almost all of them have occurred, and we're moving them through the committee process here pretty fast. We want these to happen as soon as possible to give the policy changes to our property owners for this year so that impacts their next year's tax bill. But we don't have a set actual deadline or time frame. We're just trying to move things as fast as we can.
Representative Fisher, what's your overarching goal with this DOGE caucus? Are you hoping to give the state auditor at some point or some other branch of government more authority to root out waste at the state or local level?
We haven't really decided on what, if any, type of external or new agency or commission or board, what that might look like. We've certainly had conversations. We had a really productive meeting with Auditor Faber just a few weeks back in Columbus. We had a good number of our members come, and we had a really robust discussion just talking about ideas for how to increase government efficiency. And, we're not being mindful that the role of the Auditor of State is very much in the spirit of what we want to do. And the Auditor of State also, they have a really robust and effective performance audit program. They're auditing local governments, school districts, state agencies, state programs all the time. And we think they do a really, really good job of that. I think the area where we see room for improvement that's sort of low-hanging fruit and really easy for us to try and tackle is adding some enforcement teeth to those performance audits, because there are a lot of performance audits that simply go, they get published and they get shared with the relevant folks and agency leaders or department heads or what have you, and then nothing really gets done. So what we're evaluating is trying to encourage and incentivize compliance with those performance audits, because that is by and large exactly what we're seeking to do. And we already have something that's working really, really well at identifying the issues, but finding ways to make sure that the folks that are receiving the poor marks on those performance audits, whether it's a local government or whether it's a state agency, that they're actually complying with those recommendations, because we already have a lot of the information that we want. It's just a matter of making sure that people are actually complying and making sure that the bureaucracy is adhering to the rules and recommendations that these independent, the Auditor of State is a very independent agency. They're a constitutional officer. They really do care about and take pride in their independence. But I think it's the role of the General Assembly to try and make sure that the groups that are subject to those audits are actually following those recommendations. And so that's kind of where we are now. And that's what we're looking to explore is how do we incentivize enforcement, and how do we make sure that these recommendations are actually being implemented?
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Tex Fisher, a Republican from Mahoning County, and Ohio State Representative David Thomas, a Republican from Ashtabula County. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss the effort to bring driver's education back to Ohio schools. This is Cincinnati Edition.